Let me say I'm very happy that things turned out the way they did, and there are others here to preach. Preachers need preaching to, and we enjoy being preached to. It is an inspiration when we are preached to. Bible conferences and revival meetings are training and schooling for preachers, where we receive revival, whether we are preaching it or whether we are hearing it. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll read verses 7 through 10. Homiletic books and other books you read on the subject of revival will tell you that you should never hold a revival service or meeting without preaching about prayer. If God's people are going to be revived during a meeting or in our personal life, we must have passion, love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must have power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We must have the precepts, a love for the Scriptures, and a willingness to obey them. And we must have prayer. Prayer, perhaps, as the greatest failure of God's children, not necessarily because we don't pray as often as we should, but we don't pray as we should. I want to preach to you this afternoon on the subject, when God says no. A little bit different subject on prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord, or I prayed to God thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Almost everyone you read believes that Paul had a physical affliction that he is asking God to remove. Paul had been given great revelations by God. Paul had done great works for God. Paul had sacrificed everything he had for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that so I don't get puffed up. I'll tell you, Paul's a smart man. And Paul understood that he understood self-esteem better than those who promote it. Paul understood that it is the tendency of depraved men to think more of ourselves than what's there. And it is our tendency to attribute more to ourselves than what is accomplished. It is like if I am the star on the football team. I am the quarterback and I throw 5 touchdown passes. And then in my interview I say, I really beat that team good. And eliminate the line who took care of me. Beloved, may we never eliminate the God that enables us to do great things. Paul prayed 3 times that this affliction might depart from him. You imagine for a moment this great warrior of God. Lord, take this affliction from me. Maybe he reminded God of how faithful he's been. Maybe he told God that if I don't have this affliction, I'll be able to work harder and serve you with greater fervency. Paul asked God for healing. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. God wants us all to know that God is made strong when we're weak. Now, I'm going to read you something. I don't do this very often. And I'll try to get through it. I'm not promising I'll be able to make it through it. this sermon came about. After I was lying in bed, I put in one of my dad's tapes. And rather than tell the story, I typed word for word what he said. This is the story that inspired this sermon. It was November 22nd, 1957. My son had been taken to the hospital on Wednesday, operated on with a ruptured appendix. On Thursday, it seemed as if he was much better. And I called Mother and told her it looked like he'd be all right. I had a terrible earache on Thursday and had to go to the doctor. I never have an earache now, but what it brings it all back. I don't have it often. 6 o'clock Friday morning, I was called to come down to the hospital. He was very sick. At about 10 o'clock or so, the doctor told me if he lives 3 hours, you'll have a chance. When I got to the hospital, I began to pray. And I prayed earnestly. And I meant it. And I confessed my sins. And I begged God through those hours from 6. I guess I got there about 6:30. Until 1:15 or 1:20, I pled with God, let my boy live. At 1:20, the doctor said he's gone. God did not answer my prayer. And I prayed as earnestly as I've ever prayed in my life. And I was as sincere as I've ever been in my life. But God said no. I testify to you tonight that I don't often do this in my preaching, just occasionally, but I can testify that I never had any resentment against God. There was a boy operated on shortly after that with appendicitis in the same room. They moved him because they knew my boy might pass away. Then don't this boy about the same age to be in the room. And I saw the boy playing later up there in Appalachia. God is my witness and I give him the glory because it was his grace that was sufficient. I never resented, never was angry with God. Never complained against God for doing that. I went home from the hospital, knelt by my couch, read Job 14:5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. I thank God that I had had Steve for 8 years, for the joy had been in my life. I thank God that Steve was saved. Many times I talked with him, and he had trusted Christ. That see him again in heaven. I remember very clearly. I said to God, this hurts badly. But I thank you. I'll not have to experience the greater hurt for the fires of hell. I prayed that. God said no. This was something my dad went through alone. He had been deserted by his wife. Had no family there. I was 4 years old. 3 years old. Me and little Joe staying with Miss Naves. My mom told me a while back, she said, I remember praying too. But I remember praying that God would take me
spare my son. Then she said, I'm glad he didn't. Said, because I was lost. Since then, God saved me. She said, now I'll see him again. Daddy went on to tell about a letter that he had received from a couple that really touched his heart. They were parents with a child who was very sick, with a humanly incurable sickness. In this letter, they say they knew that God was going to heal their child because they had prayed and asked God to heal their child. Daddy said, I remember sitting there reading that letter and praying, but understanding. Sometimes God says no. And he said, I had great concern that what it would do to the faith of those parents as they prayed for their son and they were confident God was going to heal him, but then God said no. What's going to take place? I preach to you on when God says no. Unanswered prayers can be one of the great disappointments and problems and sorrows in a believer's life. The old adage that God always answers prayer, sometimes yes, and sometimes no, sometimes wait a while, in reality is not true. Now stay with me. Perhaps we can make that statement if we pray right. But Daddy told God no. There's no instance, or our text does not say that Paul prayed, Lord willing, remove this. Does it? Doesn't say that. It just says he prayed, remove it. And God told Paul, no, I'm not going to remove it. Now he added to that, that he would give him grace. I cannot comfort someone's heart by saying, God answered your prayer. God just said no. I think that I need to, from this book, be able to explain to them why God said no and what is involved therein. Now, we all know there is the manner of unanswered prayer when it's our fault. We're not right with God when our prayer is not right. But this sermon will deal with sincere and honest prayer. I want to talk about two things. I want to give some thoughts on prayer. Then I want to talk about some theology of prayer. The first thought are the many blessings of a proper prayer life. And I'm not even sure I know what that is. I'm not even sure I know what a proper prayer life is. I know what this book says it should be. But am I that? I know that even the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and did not have a proper prayer life. I know when he desired that they pray with him, they were too tired and too sleepy. I would not rob anyone of the truth that there are blessings of a proper prayer life. I do not at all tonight want to diminish your estimation of the value of prayer. It is invaluable to the child of God as a wonderful and blessed thing. But I want to deal with the matter and be honest with the matter and try to help us understand when God says no. Secondly, every true Christian has had answers to prayer. Brother Gene, God ever answered your prayer? He has. Yeah, God, every true Christian, God's answered the prayer. And if you sit here tonight and you say, I'm not sure God has ever answered my prayer, you're probably lost. And I believe that God answers prayer and He lets us know it's an answer to prayer. Thirdly, sometimes our prayers are not answered. Paul certainly was a man of prayer. Prayer seemed to guide his life. When he wanted to go preach in certain parts of the world, God said no. He was forbidden of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to go there, but God said no. You say God gave him something else, but the point is, He didn't give Paul what he asked for. I dare say that every Christian here has asked for something and God didn't give it. We've asked for something and God didn't give it. I've had that experience. I preach about these experiences in our lives to perhaps clear up the puzzlement and the disappointment. And if you have never had God say no, the time's coming. Well, you'll want something so bad. Fourthly, there are some seemingly unlimited prayer promises in the Word of God. We might, and the charismatics would refer to them as blank check promises. They believe that God is going to do something, and then if God doesn't do it, they like to blame it on you. You didn't have faith. But I'm going to tell you something, it's not always our fault. Matthew 7:7. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find, not, and it shall be opened unto you. That reads like a blank check, doesn't it? It reads like anything I ask. And one might interpret it to say that if I ask God for $1 million, God's promise, He's going to give it to me, or the Scriptures aren't true. And there are people who believe that. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you should agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I think we've all had that experience, haven't we? Where we have agreed on something. I remember hearing Daddy tell a story one time when he was in the Holiness Church. And the preacher was preaching. And he was preaching from this text. And the woman behind him leaned up and tapped him on the shoulder. And said, will you agree with me and pray with me that God will save my son tonight? Daddy said, yes, ma'am, I will. God didn't save her son that night. How do you explain that? How do you explain that in light of this verse of Scripture? We do not need a way of getting around this verse, but we do need a way of explaining it. John 14:14. If any shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Note the word anything. And some people get all carried away with that word anything. Now what do we do with these promises? Now I believe that we must take promises like these and put them in the totality of all the Bible teaches about prayer. Don't just grab here and grab there when it suits a Pentecostal's desire to extort money from other people. When understand them, because if we take them singly, we got some problems, don't we? We have some problems. And I'll deal with this in a moment, but let me make this statement.
the totality of the Bible teaching about prayer is that when we pray as we should, we'll pray in the will of God. I'm not going to ask for $1 million. I'm not going to ask God to move that mountain just to show that God will. When we pray right, our prayer will be for His glory. Now, secondly, let me talk about the theology of prayer. Let me give some explanations of this. When God says no. First of all, when God says no, it is always, without exception, because it's not His will. Always. Pay particular attention to this verse of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence we have in Him. I have confidence in God. You know why? That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now you understand that verse. If I ask something in the will of God, I can have confidence that God will hear it, and I will receive an answer to that petition every time I pray in the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, what I just read, is the controlling principle of all prayer life. Controls it all. And we need to understand that. You want to pray like you should? That's the controlling principle. But how often do we do it? In reality, how often do we do this? Surely, God would not answer a prayer outside of His will, or as the sermon stealer Doug Newell III said, God would change. And God does not change. You think about the example of two people asking for different things, and I know we have the example of rain. The farmer wants rain, the construction worker doesn't. But let's give another supposition. Let's suppose that there was a young man and he was in love with a woman. And he was going to ask her to marry. And he prayed, Lord, please let this woman say yes. I love her and I'll be a good husband. But this woman's mama and daddy don't like him so much. And they're praying, Lord, please don't let my daughter marry him. What does God do? He answers in accordance with His will. That's exactly what it does. His will here that I mentioned is the eternal purpose of God. God has purpose whatsoever come to power. The will of God is what God has planned from all eternity to take place. If we ask contrary to that, it will not be answered. Prayer does not change God, nor does prayer change the plans of God. God has predestinated everything that comes to pass. And if I ask in harmony with that will, God's going to answer my prayer. He's going to. I believe that. The folly of the sign prayer changes things. Prayer changes me. You know what prayer does? You keep this point with you. Prayer puts me in harmony with God's will. Prayer helps me understand the will of God. I do not believe that any or all praying that all mankind in the world, if they all gathered together, will change one single purpose of God. Now, we often do not know what God's will is when we pray. Sometimes we can know what God's will is, but many times we don't. Let me give you an example. I am praying for a sick person. I do not know if it is God's will for them to recover or not. But I do know if they're saved, it's God's will to be with them and comfort them, don't I? So in reality, I don't have to pray that, God's will. I know it is. Brother, sister in Christ has a terrible disease. I pray, Lord, based upon your promises, give them comfort and be with them and gird them up and give them strength. But if I'm going to pray for them to be made whole, I say, God, if it is your will, spare them of this sickness. There are some things I know is the will of God. Now let me give you another verse of scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself make an intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know what to pray for as I want because I don't know God's will. But I have the Holy Spirit indwelling in me who does. Who does? And what this verse is saying is that the Holy Spirit moves in me to a proper prayer life. And the reason our prayer lives are so bad sometimes is we're not moved by the Spirit of God concerning what we pray for. The Spirit put something in my heart to pray about, because he knoweth and searcheth the heart. And the Spirit knows my heart. He also knows the will of God. And he is able to lay upon my heart to pray in accordance to the will of God. And what a blessing that is when that's answered. When we pray for sick people, God be with them. But God, if it be thy will, heal them. Certainly most time. It would hurt all the time to pray, Lord willing. Now, while this may seem to hurt and take some things from us, let me give you two comforting thoughts. First of all, we can always believe that God's able. We may not know it's God's will, but we can know he's able. I have a gentleman church back home, has stage 4 lung cancer. We both went up, looked it up on the internet, 8 months it says. Doctor says ignore the internet. And I am praying that if it is God's will, first I'm not sure the man's saved, but God saved him. But if not, if it's your will, God heal him up, because I know this, God is able. I believe it was Sister Tot Shelton who was given 6 months to live and lived over 20 years. God was able. And secondly, remember not just the ability of God, but the love of God for his children. God loves us, and that love combined with the wisdom of God helps us to understand. Now let me move on quickly. Why does God say no? When God says no, he always has a good reason. We may not be able to understand the reason. Our hearts might be breaking and heavy. I don't know why God took my brother. Don't know why. Mike's sister, a friend of mine from Illinois, devastated for 2 years. His brother was murdered by the smiley face killer. And he just said, Sam, I'll be honest, I questioned God some. I couldn't understand. I didn't know why. But God had a reason. That gives me comfort. Something may have seemed all right to us and seemed like a good thing. And we may have convinced ourselves we want it for the glory of God,
But we must bow ourselves to the wisdom of our God and know that He knows all things. Sometimes a child asks things of the parent. They'll learn it's better to ask a grandparent when parents aren't around. And somehow we say no. Can I play with that knife? No. Well, I don't understand why. You play with a knife. Can I play with that gun? No. You play with a gun, Daddy. We're wiser than they are, aren't we? Trust God. He has the reasons. When God says no, always remember He may have something better in store for you. Let me give you an example. My daughter Amanda was without a job, teaching job. Applied a lot of places, but teaching jobs in Michigan are hard to come by. She applied for a job in Grand Rapids at Kennewa Hills High School. And we all prayed that she'd get that job. I hope, I prayed, Lord willing. I don't know, I don't remember. She didn't get it. It hurt. But about a month later, she got a job at Bill City and lives 25 miles from me now. They'll be at church every Sunday. God had something better. I tell you, He has something better. Sometimes we simply have to wait on God. Young man, maybe that same young man I mentioned earlier, found another girl he wants to marry. And he loves her and wants to marry her. And again, he goes, he's feeling helpless now. But he goes again and prays to God. Lord, move upon this woman's heart to marry me. And right now I'm thinking about that joke you told about beautiful and dumb. And she says no. And a month later, he meets a woman, falls in love, and is happy for the rest of their life. God had something better for him. Kid, here's a kid. And he goes to mom and daddy, can you give me $5? And what do you need $5 for? Old John down the street, he's going to sell his old bike. Old beat up bike, crooked rims, everything else. But I can get it for $5. Will you give me $5 to buy that bike? And mama says no. Because hiding back in the closet, mama has a brand new bike for him. Birthday's in a couple of days. Had something better. When God says no, it may not be His final answer. I have a sermon on, is that your final answer? Right now in my mind, I don't have a clue what it's about. But God may be trying to teach us perseverance in prayer. When you pray for something today and God doesn't give it, you go off and pout. Well, God's not going to do it. Remember the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus and told Him that her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus didn't even answer her. The disciples were trying to send her away and she came again and said, Lord, help me. Jesus said, I came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It isn't meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Now, I said that dogs one time up in Michigan. My granddaughter said, what's a dog? She said, I know what a dog is, but I don't know what a dog is. Okay? Trying to figure out to this day if she'd been smart aleck or not. She said, yes, Lord, but little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. God answered her prayer and her daughter was healed. Why? She persevered. She kept on. It was not His final answer. Luke chapter 18, Christ spoke a parable about how men ought to always pray and faint not. And He talked about about an unjust judge. He said a widow in a certain city and an unjust judge. And she came to Jesus and said, avenge me about my adversary. And Jesus would not do it. But she kept coming. Until He finally did. What did He say? Because the widow troubleth me. And a good translation of that in the Greek, because she kept after me. Persevere in prayer. It may not be his final answer. Then when God says no, it doesn't mean he don't love you. Parents say no, their children lie. It doesn't mean we don't love him. And I'm going to hurry through the rest of this. How dare? How dare those no-count sorry disciples go to the Son of God and say, "Carest not, carest thou not that we perish?" We're just like them. Just like them. Next time God don't answer your prayer and you think, "Does God love me?" Take a trip to Calvary. In your mind, visualize the terrible sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins, and then feel ashamed of ourselves for saying, "Do you love me?" And then sixthly, when God says no, it'll be for your own good. Romans 8:28 applies here. God always knows what's best for his children. Seventhly, when God says no, he will always give you the grace to bear it. Sometimes we are calls to bear heavy burden. I cannot imagine. May God spare me burying my son. Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine what daddy went through. But we go through hardships. Now, I'm not comparing what I go through that. And no matter what I go through, God will give me the grace to bear it. I went into the doctor's office and having a prostate check, and he said, "I feel something I don't like." Made an appointment with another doctor, and I remember praying that whatever troubled the doctor wasn't serious. It was pretty serious. It was cancer. But I tell you, there's been a lot of good come from that cancer. A lot of good. And then lastly, when God says no, we will not lose anything by praying. Not a thing. If we don't get everything we ask for, we'll get something. We'll always get the comforting of God. Keep on praying. It feels good. When it's all over, down here, and we're in heaven, we are gathered around the throne worshiping him. We are amongst those loved ones that we did not understand God taking from us. And when we look back over our lives, we'll look up and say, "He doeth all things well. He doeth all things well." Sometimes life is hard, and sometimes we don't understand. Perhaps it's my imagination. I think maybe in heaven, maybe sometime, we're going to have a long time. God will, maybe he's always set daddy down and said, "Joe, this is why I took your son." And daddy would say, "You do all things well. Do all things well." May God help us to have a better prayer life. And understand when God says no. And understand that he will say yes. May God bless you.